Oh, how time flies. The Olympic flame will be extinguished at the closing ceremonies in Tokyo on Sunday night after a Games unlike any other. Let's bring in NPR's Leila Fadel, who's been covering these Olympics under some pretty unique conditions. Hi, Leila.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So why don't we start with the news before we ask you to stop and reflect on these games. American
right.
Allyson Felix just became the most decorated woman Olympian in track and field history today.
She did. She just surpassed Jamaican sprinter Merline Otey. She took the bronze in the 400 meter. So that puts her Olympic medals at 10.
Wow.
She's now tied with Carl Lewis as the most decorated U.S. Olympian in track and field history. And I should remind you, she did this all as a new mom. And that has been a huge part of her platform. Hmm. She's been very outspoken about the challenges female athletes face that men don't.
So there's just a few days left now. What are you watching for before the closing ceremony?
Obviously, U.S. basketball is ahead. We have more track and field. We'll see Allyson Felix again in the 4x400 relay. And the closing ceremonies to close out what has been the strangest Olympics, sometimes called the sad Olympics, sometimes called the anger Olympics. So it's coming to a close.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, there have probably in history we have never seen an Olympic Games quite like this.
That's
you know,
right.
Not long before they started, there were questions about whether they should even happen at all. So,
right.
You know, looking back, do you think that Japan and the International Olympics Committee were able to pull it off?
You know, those questions never really ended. There are still scattered protests from people here who say this should never have happened. Billions of dollars spent on these games in the midst of a surge in coronavirus cases across the world. But when I spoke to Japanese people throughout this games, they always used a version of it's complicated when they talked about the games. Mm-hmm. Their country has raked in a record number of gold medals. We've seen people gather outside the venues to try to touch the Olympic spirit because no fans, including domestic fans, are allowed inside. Athletes who've trained their whole lives and had incredible moments did it with no fans in the stands.
Do you think that affected any of the performances? I mean, as an athlete, I imagine you can use the fans and the crowd as energy
right.
and motivation. Do you think having those stands empty mattered?
I'm obviously not in the heads of the athletes, but it's so strange to watch, for example, soccer. You could hear the players talking to each other. That's how quiet
wow.
the venue is, built for thousands of people. There was one American skateboarder, Jagger Eaton, who skated with his AirPods in his ears because usually he feeds off the crowd, but there was no crowd. But I also heard a Japanese judo athlete speak about the intimacy of the moment because for the first time, all he had to hear or all he could hear was the breath of his opponent.
Oh, wow.
There's both this like kind of private intimacy between the players, but this extreme strangeness to be in these echoey, cavernous venues largely alone, with cameras filming everything for millions of people back home, wherever you're from.
Well, regardless who was watching, you're right, there were some pretty memorable athletic achievements. What sticks out to you?
Oh, man. There was, early in the games, a Tunisian swimmer, Ahmed Hafnaoui, an 18-year-old from Tunisia, who was in the eighth lane, slowest qualifying time, and he won the 400-meter freestyle. So shocked that he said, I think he said something like, I just can't accept this. This is too incredible. Only the fifth medal for Tunisia in the history of the country. And the only person, again, cheering in the stands was his coach, just going insane, making up for the fact that there weren't all these fans. There were also incredibly sweet and heartwarming moments between athletes. It almost felt like they were each other's cheerleaders. One particular moment I'm sure many people remember at this point were high jumpers, one from Qatar, Motaz Issa Barshim, and Gianmarco Tamberi, Italian. And they were in this hours-long competition for the high jump. They kept making it. And so they were supposed to go to a jump-off. And at one point, Barshim asks, can we share the gold? And when they were told yes, we watched Tamberi jump into the arms of Barshim. They're both good friends. They both suffered possibly career-ending injuries that they overcame. I think we have a little bit of what they said right after finding out they could share that gold.
You can't leave the emotion, the dream of a gold medal to somebody who sacrificed his entire life for this. And it was just amazing. And sharing with a friend is even more beautiful.
We're going to celebrate.
Right,
thank you.
And that wasn't the only heartwarming moment. We also saw, like, Isaiah Jewett, the American track star, and Nigel Amos. They both fell, and so they got up. Mm-hmm. They helped each other up and finished the race arm in arm. So there were some beautiful moments for sure.
You're giving me the chills just thinking about that, which is funny because it is really, really hot in Tokyo. You know, I've spent an August in Tokyo. I've never been hotter in my life. Just reflect on that before we let you go. I feel like the weather might be something that these games are remembered for.
So hot. I was at April Ross and Alex Kleinman's U.S. gold medal beach volleyball match this morning, and I just couldn't believe the feats that these athletes were doing in the midst of this incredible heat.
No. NPR's Leila Fadel in Tokyo. Enjoy the final days. Thank you so much for your reporting. Appreciate it.
Thank you.